Good afternoon, everybody. Today is Tuesday, January 8th. It's 2:00 PM in the Legal Counsel Update Meeting in the Board of County Commissioner Room, Conference Room. We have Commissioners DeYoung, Fowler, and Morgan present, and our legal staff extraordinaire. That's an official title on the wall, by the way. And first up is, you didn't even laugh. I was trying. I mean, nothing. First up is our county codification project.
Yes, so basically an update, though certainly welcome questions, comments, concerns, and suggestions. Code is up and running at long last. It is front and center.
Online.
Excellent. So that's what it's going to look like. Main point I wanted to make today was that the ordinances that were passed in the latter part of last year, of which there were many, are not on there because they're not necessarily effective. And so they weren't effective at the time that the board approved the code.
Okay.
So rather than lead to confusion and overwrought explanation kind of mode, we're going to have code publishing update those in the very near term. I'd call it in what path, the next.
And we don't require anything of the board to do that, correct?
Nope. That's
because
automatic.
It was when we passed the code and it said, and any subsequent ordinances passed.
Yes.
We're good to go.
Yes. And so the code publishing will periodically update. Their assertion is that they update within about 5 days, give or take, right?
Within 5 days or so of when we upload it to
yes.
their back.
Yes.
Through the back door, so to speak, online.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Marijuana ordinances are not on there, for example. So to
because extent, they're not, they haven't withstood
not
the 90 day rule.
Yeah, they're not effective.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not effective. When they upgrade those right away within 5 days, you said?
Well, it's dependent on when we send it to them.
Okay.
So, yeah. 3 to 5 days right now is okay. a really busy time.
I mean, we don't have to wait till the end of the year. Open enrollment for Social
no.
Security or something.
Exactly.
Okay.
No, we have our contract with them is to keep on doing all the
keep
stuff.
Keep it current.
There's a yearly fee, and I don't remember what that is right now. But
oh, you're allowed your updates?
Yes.
Yeah.
For all, so they'll keep it updated. We just have to get it to them.
Okay.
So. The first supplement will probably be, I mean, I'm hoping to get that done this week before I leave. And I mean, I will get it done.
Before Are you coming back?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to pass a hat for Dutch Bros contribution. That's what it takes, you know.
I think that you'll find if you start using it. See, you haven't used anything else, so you'll find it really easy to use, hopefully. It's got a search capability.
Yeah.
So
nice.
And then later on, if we ever want to print one, we'll be able to do that. But we aren't asking for a printed one yet because it's kind of behind right now.
It wouldn't be accurate.
Well, yeah. In the process of proving this, we also recognize there was a lot of things that we saw needed.
Mm-hmm.
There were conflict. They needed fixing. State right. laws have changed, and so that list of updating still has to happen. So it might be nice to have that done and then print it. Or
yeah.
do we have to provide one for the law library sooner?
We don't have to provide one at all for the law library. I mean, it would be nice, but I would say within the first year that there'll be so many repealed, you know, that's how we're going to have to fix it is by repealing old ordinances. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
what
it's going to take a while.
Parking your horse in front of the courthouse and stuff like that.
Yeah, did you find that in there?
No.
Yeah, there's some really old ones that just need to go away.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be an ongoing process of identifying those, and we'll keep the board constantly apprised of progress there.
Thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, the main thing is just that we follow up and I didn't realize it's a living, breathing document that we're always bringing up.
Yes,
true. Mm-hmm.
But thanks for getting it online. It's kind of... It'll be interesting to read.
It'll be very useful to some.
Yeah.
And everything's right there, so that's nice.
So the second, or anything further on that topic?
Nothing further.
Then we're going to move on to item number two, is a cleanup of real property at 2620 Woodland Park Road.
All right, so this was a case that was resolved back in October where the county took control of the drug property at 2620 Woodland Park. The county is in the process of cleaning up the junk, garbage, and securing the property itself. There's been a couple times where the sheriffs have reported some break-ins at the property. They're trying to keep it secure. And part of the cleanup that we wanted to include was clearing the shrubs and the bushes. And we received communication from Ryan Johnson that typically the county allows shrub and bush removal from county-owned properties, and that they could do it with, they could remove shrubs and bushes from other properties with board approval. So I just wanted
Who
to...
Who said that?
Ryan Johnson.
Well, generally speaking, Community Corrections is contracted out for that through their road crews.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan doesn't do that directly. He usually has an employee overseeing them. So is that what he's saying?
That wasn't what was in the email.
Sounds like he was asking for authority.
Yeah, to just to remove the bushes and shrubs from that particular property.
The property's in receivership, so we're going to have to give it back after it's cleaned up. I think that's
right. And how did the bushes become an issue?
Solid waste cleanup.
Oh, okay.
And then to include the cost of removing the shrubs and bushes in the lien that we're going to file against the property.
It fits to me. Yeah. Makes sense to me. Just get it cleaned up. That's the one out there. I know where it's at. It's right next to the... There used to be a soccer field or something right there.
There's a school right next to it.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw that law enforcement there.
It's been a headache ever since...
Which one you're talking about.
I took office 2 years ago. That guy came in. He was more than patient. He was very patient. We finally got around to doing it, which is a good deal because he was very thankful for that. Been in a number of times. I like to see you a number of times too. Mm-hmm. So all you're looking for right now is just, does Ryan Johnson need permission from the board to clean up the shrub?
It was his indication that he did.
Bushes and branches and stuff. I have no problem with that. I'll make that motion if we need a motion or.
Yeah, what does that look like?
I wouldn't suggest the motion would even be needed. Just, he's got
this
the
consensus
approval.
Of the yeah. board.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Number three is memorandum regarding public meeting laws.
Yes. So from time to time, we do go back to the fundamentals on this. And so starting with we did provide two memorandum, the not confidential memorandum. Going back to 2015 was a period in which at least a couple of citizens were bringing this issue to attention. So it was deemed, in order to get everybody on the same page, the memorandum was put out there, and so citizens and board and county officials would all be talking about the same particular set of laws. So generally speaking, you can more or less go to the final sentence on bullet number 5, which is a quote. It's an excerpt from the Attorney General's manager. And here we'd be principally talking, of course, about the Board of Commissioners. Members constituting a quorum must avoid any discussions of the business of their governing body during gatherings that would constitute a quorum.
So where are you on?
I'm on the June 8th, 2015.
Page 2, item 5.
Yes, page 2, item 5. Okay. The other one would only be in paper form, I think, because I just sent it over this morning. We'll get to that momentarily. So that's the direction things are supposed to be going at all times. There's the 6 bullet points, which are really worth becoming refreshed on, even though I know everyone's thoroughly familiar and we're all veterans, but it's worth it just to see what happens here. When a situation like this comes to a head, just throwing out one possible nightmare scenario that's never occurred in Josephine County, but it would be, for example, let's say, so we all know that public contracts over $50,000 require board approval. Well, a department head comes in, I'm not saying this has ever happened, but this is something, the sort of thing that would be a problem if it did. A department head comes in and says to the liaison, I'd like to assign a contract in excess of $50,000 to a particular vendor. And so the department head and the liaison discuss it. The commissioner goes, talks about the matter with another commissioner and says, I'm thinking we just assign the contract to this vendor. Do you have any problem with that? No, do whatever. Well, a month later, after the contract's been let, the guy's already doing work, the vendor's already doing work, the competitor, who also wanted that contract, pops up and says, right, I want to know at what public meeting board approved
that. Where was that decision made?
And then it's, okay, so the remedy is that the decision is supposed, he can go to court, and the decision or a complaint of the Attorney General's, the Department of Justice, but let's say they go to court, the decision is supposed to be rescinded, but the vendor has already commenced work, and the county is already contractually obligated. That's bad, right? You see where I'm going with that? So this is why it's extraordinarily important in all circumstances for the board just to not even go close to that line of decision-making or deliberation or information gathering even outside of a public meeting setting. Because it can get pretty bad pretty fast if we do.
So no meeting on the tarmac somewhere?
No.
Discussing grandkids?
That's okay. Social meetings are okay. That's pretty much
Little
what the number five
is okay.
comes to.
Yeah, number five just alluded to that.
And I mean, it's not a good idea, but I mean.
So we are going to have a Super Bowl party at Dan's house, according to number five.
You can do that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They
particularly
talked about
that. I didn't hear that, Dan. Did you?
Anyway, so I think we're all pretty familiar, but I did want to hit on that point because, of course, there's only three members, and so any two gathering for the purpose of deliberating or gathering information or making a decision would constitute a quorum that noticed in advance.
Commissioner Fowler is enrolled in County College, and they had a whole segment on public meeting law.
Yeah.
So he'll get that from GOC.
Of course, it's a little different when the numbers go down.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
That's the difference. That's
way
the
different
difference.
From the aid over across the pond.
That said, interestingly, the kind of poster child is Lane County in that Handy case. I'm sure they went over that,
uh-huh.
I think, and we even touched on it here in this memo. And that that was a scenario of a serial meeting. You know about that one, of course. I think
Fruit
we've
Loops
talked about
or
it a few times. Yes, yes.
Sorry, just checking. We'll rely what kind on. Of cereal?
Well, so you have a person kind of consulting commissioners in a cereal kind of fashion and then making a decision on that basis is what we had. That was a county manager who was doing that at the time. And that was a big no-no. And that was not necessarily expected at that time from the courts, but the courts weighed in directly on that question and said that even if the commissioners never sit down together or exchange words, you know, if a staffer comes in and makes a decision based upon discussions with two of you, then that's to be avoided.
And we just talked about this in the BOFTA training earlier too, that those boards are subject to the same thing as we are. Telephone calls, emails, in person, the same.
They are. And that's actually covered by the second memo that I sent over in paper fashion. We did have. Sorry.
I'm not sure where she's got them here.
Maybe they didn't get it.
On the advisory board.
I have two of them for item number three.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's three of them.
About yay thick.
Yep, that's it. This is a pretty good trove of information that is worth just giving a once-over if you have any free time, which I don't take for granted. But so a little history on this. I think Commissioners DeYoung and Morgan were on the board. Well, currently we're on the board, even when we sent this out. But advisory boards were inconsistent, we'll say, in their public notice in particular. And also, as we looked into the situation more, records retention, minutes keeping, and the like were something we needed to do better, right? And so board said, okay, well, let's put out this memorandum, and it did expect that each member of the advisory board would sign at the end and basically say, yes, I've read it, I get it, and that's our sort of baseline of understanding. So,
You collected a bunch of these with signatures?
The department heads did.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and everyone told me they did it, and I have no reason to doubt. I always told them, no, I don't want these forms, please keep them in your own departments. So, as recently as this morning, even, an inquiry came in from a member of the press that the public notice is something the county is something this person would want the county to aspire toward continually, put it that way. And so I thought, well, we're talking about public meetings on the meeting today anyway, so we can hit that point as well. And I just wanted to really hone in during my initial remarks here on the final sentence of the paragraph on the first page that's titled Notice. And so we all see that.
Sorry,
it just
this
says,
is 13 pages long, so I'm going back.
Yeah, first page of the title, and so we're looking at that notice, and then it just says, the final sentence under the notice says, a reasonable effort must be made to inform the public of the nature of the issues to be discussed, but boards must or may also take up additional principal subjects arising too late to be mentioned in the notice. So that's the driver when it comes to public notice. And so quorums meet. Public notice goes out in advance, and that's really the
basically saying that you're public noticing the quorum.
Yes.
But what you talk about, reasonable effort must be made to inform what the subject's going to be, but if other subjects come up, you're okay?
Under certain circumstances.
The board may also take up additional principal subjects arising too late to be mentioned in the notice.
And that's the circumstance under which, yes, the board or the advisory committee even may take up additional subjects. Yes.
We need to really make an effort. The reasonable effort must be made to inform the public what the meeting's going to be about.
Yes.
Don't do it intentionally that you just say, okay, we'll notice it for one thing and then talk about a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And for me, I don't know how it falls in there, but if you're going to discuss something that wasn't on the agenda, I'd suggest they don't take action, like make a motion on it or whatever, because then there was
no... Especially in our charter.
Yeah, is that it? Okay.
That's correct.
Making
yes.
sure I got it right.
So even that's, a bit of a change between, or a difference between Josephine County and other jurisdictions. So yeah, and the discussion under certain circumstances may occur with the decision.
Right, gotcha. Okay.
Generally can't.
Right.
And does this cover commissions as well? Do we have anything besides the planning commission?
Well, that's the one that comes to mind. We've got the planning commission. The principal decision-making bodies outside of the Board of Commissioners are the Planning Commission and the Budget Committee. So those are really where the rubber meets the road on if you're going to be making decisions.
They're not an advisory board. They're an actual...
Yes, I would
a decision-making body.
Yes.
Right.
They are. They
okay.
are. It's interesting to highlight that. Can you think of anybody else, or is that pretty much the top?
Urban area, but that's...
Well, that's what I was thinking, Planning Commission.
Partial.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking rural.
Yeah, I was thinking rural.
So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That really comes to a head here in the final paragraph on the second page titled Ex Parte Contact. And that's something we try to go over, at the beginning of the meetings. But just to refresh what I think everybody already comprehends, that Ex Parte Contact is essentially extra information. Ex parte means receiving evidence or information outside the context of a public hearing. This can virtually always be cured, but it must always be announced at the onset of a meeting. So, so typically we're going to be talking about the Planning Commission and the Budget Committee. And I really want to not discourage anybody from announcing it at the beginning, because it can be virtually always cured just by saying it. But not saying it, that's when people tend to take issue.
What do we, we get people to come in the office all the time talking about various issues. Do we have to declare that?
Pretty much.
Having a direct and indirect financial interest in matters under consideration, I got that. But members who have lobbied or have unique information about any matter, so in other words, somebody comes in and we're discussing something that's going to come up, mm-hmm. and they haven't discussed it with the other two. I should say, I talked to somebody about that?
Yes, the classic scenario is a land use application that hasn't made it to the board yet. It may even just be approaching the Planning Commission. But you run into the neighbor, or the neighbor runs into you, Commissioner, right?
Right.
And then they want to, I got that neighbor of mine's applying on this thing, and I want you to know there's a lot of problems with this and that. Okay, we'll cross that bridge if and when we come to it. Someday, eventually, when you come to it, then you say, Mrs. So-and-so did talk to me in the supermarket on some occasion. I don't remember the date, but so she did tell me her side of it. I just want that to be known as we go into this proceeding.
And then at that point in time, do you offer the opposition to even up the score? Or does that come out? I mean, if in the course of the discussion, the opposition, both sides, and what the lady told you in the supermarket came up on both sides of it, did she step up to the mic and say it again? What she told you in the supermarket?
Really factors in. I mean, that's just the proceeding is underway at that point.
Okay, and then there's opportunity for rebuttal at that time. So then it doesn't become ex parte, correct?
Well, it is ex parte. And okay. Yeah, it is ex parte. And that would open up, I don't want to go too far down this today because we got so much on the agenda.
Right, okay.
We can really get into it. But basically that would open up opportunities for challenge pursuant to the body of laws formerly known as the Rural Land Development Code, now known as Chapter 19 of the Josephine County Code. Anyway, yes, so ex parte does open up certain avenues for challenge. Blah, blah, blah. Point is just...
Be cautious.
Yes, be cautious.
Okay, all right.
And there we go. So I think we've hit the high points there.
Okay.
And these will, of course, be a reference document for you going
forward. I didn't see executive session addressed in it. I might have skimmed over it, but just as a maybe touch base on that next time.
Yes. Well, so the principal difference there's two principal differences between an open meeting and an executive session. So within executive session, of course, decisions cannot be made, but consensus can be reached, right? And so I've never sort of approved that we veer outside of the absolutely announced subject matter on an agenda for an executive session. So that'll never be something that we do. We always stick exactly to the subject matter that was noticed within the executive session. Okay. There's a different set of eyes, I guess you could say, from the state's perspective on executive sessions versus non-executive. So the remedy for violation of public meetings laws and notice laws for non-executive is typically a civil action, the contractor who wanted that contract and didn't get it, or the Department of Justice could also theoretically enforce that law. On the other hand, within executive sessions, it is the Ethics Commission. And we've certainly seen, you know, I've been through that experience with the prior board, and we learned a lot of lessons there that we don't want to ever learn again.
Thank you for learning those lessons.
Yeah, it was real experience. Anyway, okay, does that basically cover the initial part of what you're asking?
I feel very confident in their knowledge. Yes. City Council went over it very thoroughly, and so, and coming from Mayor Darren led meetings, so I'm confident of his knowledge of public meeting law.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Thank you. Okay, our next item is item 4, Oregon Department of State Lands application for Panther Gulf Stream restoration, an opportunity for comment.
Okay, so this application arrived, and by default, the board's office has been sending them over to my office, and that's fine. We can, over time, come up with a more streamlined system for how to process this. In essence, though, where the board has been generally expressing its preference is that when these opportunities to comment arrive at the county, you at least want to be apprised of them and get an opportunity to tell me if you want to comment on them, and then we can figure out how to do that. Traditionally, it's been just me who does it on behalf of the board, and I'll do it again on this one, and we'll see if that's the best way, you know, until kingdom come. Anyway, but the application, see, this is thicker than I actually saw. I suppose I missed some of these pages somehow.
Well, I printed all of it. I printed everything it was.
Oh, okay.
There was a number of, I think they're at the very end of some comments that were already made.
They were already made, okay.
So essentially it looks like it's taking a cement overlays out, and they're building in borders and boulders, not borders. They're taking cement out and putting boulders in for the stream to the fish to go through.
Yes, that seems to be the summarized. And the parent letter had the due date. I'm sorry, I was so backward on this one. I should have pulled it up before I come in. The comments are due.
I think they're doing 17. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Hmm. Yeah, this, we had a different document there that I'm thinking about. Yeah, the email would give us the due date, so let's pull it out and get some context.
I'm sorry, I'm wrong. It's not a fish passage project. Okay. It's just a erosion control.
Bank stabilization.
Okay, so it's comments due on the 25th, so what we can do is leave this with everybody, bring it back in a week, see if you want to say anything about it, or...
Unless you guys care, I don't know that we want to make comment.
Probably not. Traditionally, I don't think...
I don't mean not care. I'm just saying that it looks to not
we
be controversial.
Yeah.
And they've noticed all the neighbors. If the neighbors want to weigh in, I'd support that, but I don't... Okay. It's not a fish one. It's just stabilization. I don't see that it needs...
There's no fish in that at all. Everything else goes up the other creek. The other creek is, Williams Creek is fish bearing, but Panther Creek is. Panther Gulch is not.
This one's a little bit. So, yeah.
That's why, well, yeah. I don't like things scanned in the non-colored copier.
Right.
Get them. But,
if you want,
oh, it didn't. We got color scanned.
No,
here.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Here, there's a second page that has pictures. Here you go. And it's just kind of a side view, if I can rotate my screen. Here you go.
Oh, yeah, I've got that one.
Okay, that's the only one that came through.
Yeah, okay.
The other one almost looks like it's the back side of the other page.
Might have been.
Right. Unless you want us to comment that we don't oppose.
Nah, I don't think that goes very far. Okay.
I wasn't sure if it should go to anyone else in the county, like forestry. I don't know if anybody.
It's not a bad idea to email them and ask.
I'm not sure why they got it.
Okay.
Actually.
I haven't seen a lot from wetlands in a couple of years, so. Rather, you guys have any inclination to get involved?
There are some web responses back here. Lucas Hyde, permit denial. And he says about, what I think of.
We seek to enhance the stream channel at the base so it'll allow fish to move up to the site. Yeah, because I thought it was just like a wetland, but if there's fish, that should go by somebody.
Well, sounds like this creek, Panther Gulf doesn't have any creek in it. I mean, any fishing, so. But this guy here on Lucas Hyde says that project does not address the core issue of the Whittier Reservoir that blocks off the entire flow of Panther Gulch, not allowing for any fish or any other wildlife to travel up the stream. Placement of logs and boulders between the Whittier Reservoir and Homestead Road will only create future problems when said materials have come loose and dug up the culvert in Homestead Road, potentially washing out a county road system. Thank you.
Because of that, maybe we should inquire with Public Works if there's been any impact on culverts right there that we need to include on the comments and ask Public Works to weigh in.
Okay.
We could forward it to them.
We'll do that.
Is there time constraints based on
just in response to
December 6th?
January 25th.
Okay, yeah, so it's happening fast.
Yeah, so.
But if there have been repairs that the county has been, we should weigh in on that.
Okay.
You've got to be real careful sending Public Works up there and they say, no, it'll never happen, and then it happens. Then we're on the hook for it, right?
No, I'm asking if it has already happened.
Oh, okay.
Because they're claiming here it's washed out of county roads, the potential washing out of county roads, it's already plugged up the culverts. Well, how often have we had to clean out the culverts due to this? Maybe just that, the letter that's in there from Luke Hyde, maybe just verifying any of the information that he sent up there with Public Works.
Okay.
Does that seem reasonable? Mm-hmm. Verifying
the results. You're going to provide Mr. Hyde's first statement. Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense.
Anything further on this?
Mm-hmm.
Anything further on this?
Okay. And if I know the Corps of Engineers like I know the Corps of Engineers, they're just getting started on making sure this works right.
Okay.
They're very, very, very good at what they do.
All right. So item number four is number five, draft resolution 2018, matter of expressing support for selective service system, urging all eligible Josephine County men to register and opposing funding reductions to the agency.
At the board's request, we drafted the resolution. It was based upon,
the
resolution from
it was Tacoma.
Yeah.
Pierce County, Washington, had a sample that was suggested. So when I went to D.C. in October and met with cabinet members, one of the people that met with us was the director of selective service. And he asked that every county be a part of getting the word out, getting the messaging out about selective service. They have had people later in life go to apply for an appointment through federal agencies and get denied because they weren't registered selective service. If you do not get registered before you turn 26, you for a lifetime will be denied different access. And you can be denied services and various different things, and you can only do it between 18 and 25. So they want to make sure that we're helping get the word out. So I contacted Pierce County Supervisor for the wording they had, because they had said that was a good sample of one that had gone out, and we passed that along.
Yes, and this is based entirely upon that resolution.
I did learn, however, there was a period of time that they stopped registering, and then they started back up. Because my uncle's like, I never registered. What are you talking about? What am I going to be ineligible for? And I said, I don't know. I just know you only can do it between this age and that age. And it turned out that he found out there was a time it was suspended, and he just fit in that window that didn't have to register. He's in his 50s right now, so it's just kind of a certain time frame. But
he's still a young man.
Truly.
Okay.
But it was interesting to just go, oh, I didn't realize that, because they just hammered on us. 18 to 25 is their only chance, and if they don't, who knows what it'll affect later in life. A lot of the schools are on board to try to get the young men to register.
It says eligible for financial aid, student aid, state-funded student financial aid in many states, most federal employment, state employment, security clearance for contractors, job training under the Workforce Innovation Opportunities Act, and citizenship for immigrant men.
And so if you don't register, these are things you would be ineligible for later on in life.
So so they're asking for a resolution. Just to let people know, sounds like it's more informative than anything else.
It is. It's kind of, the resolution is kind of a proclamation in how we do things. But essentially, yes, it's just reiterating the importance. Then I probably would follow up with seeing if Jason can get some, maybe a page of a brief out there or get this out there. But the whole idea is, are we a part of contributing towards the information in our community that this is important for young men so they don't lose out on opportunities later in life?
Well, they sure should tell them that at high school, right?
They should, but we have a 60% high school completion rate in this community. If they're,
it's getting better, we hope.
We're going to keep working on there, absolutely. But think of how many of those young people maybe go on this path and decide to get their lives back together and go down, and they can't go register now that they're doing things right. They can't go back and fix it. You only have this small window. So
I'm surprised at the 93% compliance rate now. But there'd be that many. And
That may be something we would want to look at.
Could be part of the template. That
correct. That 93%, I would question if that's...
Well, in this day and age, how come men are different than women? Just is that way?
They've never changed national law to require women to register. And
just
know. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's what...
No, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just wondering.
Quite frankly, in Israel, men and women alike serve. And I think that's kind of cool.
Strong reason. Strong motivation.
Yeah.
So, anyhow.
I will not comment.
Right.
I didn't create the law. I am supporting that we're getting information to our community so that our community doesn't have ill effects down the road.
Well, I'd say we want to fact check this stuff, the 23 million, the 93%, the...
That stuff could be dated. Stuff.
Yeah.
From when...
And, of course, change the signature block.
Yes.
I have never... Are you registered for Selective Service?
Yes, sir.
At this time, it's the only one in the room.
That was a test.
Sean's way 100%. Overboard. I mean, he's past the limit.
Augustus?
I am in Selective Service, yes.
I've never heard of that. I've never heard young people say, yep, got to get right down and register for Selective Service.
It was a requirement.
Why would you do that?
It was a requirement for financial aid.
With the clerk?
Financial aid.
I did it for financial aid.
They have it in the same office that you do.
So if you go to college, you're likely to?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Because I went to the post office when I was 18, signed up.
That's what I did. Went to the post office.
I ignored my draft notice when I got it.
Because I think you have to put your number on it.
Yeah.
Because I was already in the Navy.
But I certainly wouldn't be against that. Yeah, that's good.
Well, I think it's a good idea to let people know because they are putting a lot of stuff that somebody say, well, nobody told me.
And if you need, I can try to find the contact for the Director of Selective Service. He's actually from Washington State. The guy that was in D.C., he had been a commissioner in Washington State or something previously, so...
Yeah, if you can find it, I'll run it by him.
Okay, just to see if we can get the stuff more current.
Do you think he's an essential employee?
Ooh, wow.
Just asking.
Yeah, don't ask questions you don't know the answer to.
I keep being asked why I'm still working, because apparently government shut down, so... Okay, any objections to us moving forward with updated information?
Nope.
Okay.
And we'll put it on a business session once we get everything confirmed.
Sure.
Okay, so any additional subject matters from commissioners? I have one I need to give y'all.
No? Is this one different as a meeting, so it's just a legal context?
Yeah, or something we've forgotten in the other ones.
Okay.
because we were talking about purchases over $50,000, I'm going to, as soon as I get the final numbers and figures on it. Dave Streeter has a request to the board. This will be over $50,000, so we'll bring it to you.
Tell him to get on the Thursday agenda if he can.
Well,
for admin.
It's not a big, gee, I got to do it now.
Oh, good.
So we just talked about it a little bit ago, and I told him, yeah, I'd just pursue that and look into it. So it's a purchase of a piece of equipment that he's going to need.
Cool. Any other items for you?
Nope. I think Molly's working on our airport thing out there. And I added a couple of things to the future MOU, so I think we'll hammer that out.
Commissioner Fowler, anything else for matters from commissioners right now?
No, not from me.
So I do need to give you guys a heads up. Being that we're going to be in Salem for the AOC on Monday, I contacted Representative Wilson's office to see their availability. Monday is one of their busiest days. The governor's sworn in, all of the legislature's sworn in and kind of getting things started. But they had a window in the afternoon that they would be available. And so I said, put us down and so we can come over, you know, kind of take you over to do a tour and introduce where you go and all that kind of stuff. So they have us down for 3:00 on Monday with Representative Wilson.
Right, and you sent that out, I think.
I asked her to send it to the BCC so we can.
On my calendar.
Correct. Yeah. Because we'll have to notice it because we're all three up there, you know, and essentially I just noticed tour of the Capitol and meeting with Representative Wilson. And that's the gist of what we would do is go down. But just an opportunity, since it's such a busy day, you don't always have to make an appointment, but it's always a good idea to call ahead for those folks you know you want to talk to.
Especially his position as
caucus minority
leader. Yeah, minority leader. I think, you know, his workload just skyrocketed.
So I hope you don't mind that I took the initiative to schedule an appointment, but I wanted to make sure we actually could actually see him face to face. So that's just as a heads up, Monday at 3:00.
Okay.
I have no other items that are for the greater good at the moment. So with that, we're going to be moving into executive session. And so today is Tuesday, January 8th. It is 2:38 p.m. Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session for the following agenda items. Item 7A is the Brimstone Natural Resources Company versus Josephine County, case number 17CV48903, under ORS 192.6602H. Item 7B is a confidential memo regarding bully complaint, Schofield complaint, Josephine County respondent, case number STEMWV181210-61884 under ORS 192.66028H and ORS 40.225. And item 7C is county potential purchase of real property, ORS 192.6602E. The approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we will return to open session and welcome the audience back in the room. Before we turn off the recorder, I also just want to say, I believe Brimstone is related to John West.
Yes.
I gave a full year to relinquishing myself from involvement because he had made the threat of filing a recall that never got filed. I believe at this time I'm no longer going to do it. I'm just going to announce that there had been the potential conflict of him filing something that never got filed, and I need to do my job, so I'm going to move on. With that, the recorder will be turned off at 2:40. We are back in general session for legal counsel update out of executive session. It is 4:01 p.m., and
our life is good.
And Brimstone was a mere update on the status of that case. As far as the bully complaint, Commissioner Morgan and myself, Wally Hicks, are going to work together, and that's going to be returned to a future agenda. And as far as item 7C, property management is to continue engagement with the prospective seller.
Okay. Does that sound right to y'all?
Yep.
All right. Any other matters for commissioners?
No.
Okay. Just as a heads up, Commissioner Long. Congressman Walden will be coming and doing a town hall in the not too distant future and is looking for a commissioner to attend.
When is he?
I'll have his staff get a hold of you guys.
Okay.
I'm not available that morning due to a medical thing I'm doing. So otherwise I could be there, but I...
Do you know what day?
I do. I'll let staff follow up with that because they haven't issued that to the public yet.
Okay, good.
All right. Seeing nothing further, we are adjourned at 4:03.
All right.
Thank you.